Dr. Christian's office.
The Vaseline program, presenting a new Dr. Christian prize play called Younger Generation by Evelyn Homer of Devon, Connecticut, starring Jean Hersholt as Dr. Christian with Rosemary DeCamp as Judy Price. Has this ever happened at your house? Wife plays bridge, husband cooks dinner, husband burns ham. Of course, household burns are pretty common, and it's a wise housewife who's prepared for them with Vaseline Petroleum Jelly. Vaseline Petroleum Jelly, called Petrolatum professionally, is recognized as an effective first aid treatment for burns. Besides helping to promote the recovery of serious burn casualties in combat areas, it's proving its effectiveness daily on the home front. The Henry Ford Hospital reports it heals faster than any of 83 other surface dressings applied to minor industrial burns. You can be sure there's nothing better than Vaseline Petroleum Jelly for everyday household burns. When anybody in your family suffers one, just do this. Spread Vaseline Petroleum Jelly on fine mesh gauze and place over the burn. Bandage firmly, but not tightly. If the burn is deep or covers a wide area, call your doctor. Always keep Vaseline Petroleum Jelly in your medicine cabinet. It costs only 10 cents a jar. Vaseline Petroleum Jelly. And so to our play. It's late afternoon, and the sunlight is slanting in long golden fingers upon Judy's desk as she files the records of the last patient and covers her typewriter for the day. Dr. Christian's kindly face appears at the door of the inner office, and he says in a voice of complete satisfaction,
"Well, Judy, I think that takes care of everything. Dr. Price will handle any emergency calls that come in, and you're all set for our little holiday."
Holiday? A medical convention? That isn't a busman's holiday. I don't know what it is.
Oh, this one should be very interesting, my dear. We plan to visit the military hospital at Woodhaven to observe some of the new procedures developed during this war. Methods of preventing infections, miracles in plastic surgery.
Yes, of course, Dr. Christian. It'll be interesting. Really, I am thrilled that you're letting me come along to take notes for you, but, well...
But what, Judy?
Oh, you need a real vacation. Oh. You're doing too much. Tonight, at least, you are going to have a little rest and a little time to yourself. Here's your hat, Doctor. Now, you slip out the side entrance, and I'll direct any patients who do happen to come in.
The side entrance, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, just one moment, my young lady. Who is in the waiting room you don't want me to see, huh?
Well, if you must know, it's Linda Munson, Dr. Christian. I'm quite sure she's in the best of health. If she has some other problem, she's not going to bother you with it tonight.
Linda Munson, eh? Linda is not the type to run for help unless, Judy, has she come about something in that newspaper you so carefully smuggled off your desk when you bought my hat?
Well, she didn't say what she had come about, but there's a picture of Alan Gibbons on the front page. He's been wounded, and... Oh, well, you might as well see it now, I guess.
Lieutenant Alan Gibbons awarded Purple Heart. Lieutenant Gibbons recently transferred to Woodhaven Military Hospital... Woodhaven? Why, then, we can stop in to see him tomorrow. Judy, weren't he and Linda engaged before he went into active duty?
They were going to be married, but Mrs. Munson made such a fuss about it, said they were too young and so on. Finally, Linda gave in to her.
Oh, and tell Linda to come in.
But you'll be involved in something again. You won't have your evening of rest.
Judy, please.
All right. I give up. Doctor says you may come in, Linda. Thanks, Judy. Dr. Christian, I'm so glad you weren't too busy to see me.
Hello, Linda. Why, but your hands are cold. Sit down, my dear. Now, just relax a little before you talk. Well, if you aren't quite a young lady now, forgive an old man, Linda, but you remember the birthday party when you came down with the measles? All those children downstairs and all those fancy cakes and cookies your mother had made? And there you were upstairs, puffing out with the measles. You're smiling now. That's better. You've come about Alan, haven't you?
He's been hurt, Dr. Christian, very badly hurt. I hadn't heard from him in weeks. And then the telegram came. but it didn't say where he was. This morning, I received a letter from one of the nurses at Woodhaven. Dr. Christian, you must make Mother see.
Just what must I make her see, Linda?
That I'm not a child any longer. That I'm old enough to make my own decisions. My place is with Alan now. The nurse says in her letter he doesn't even want to live. Imagine Alan not wanting to live. I've got to go to him. If I can only see him and talk to him. But there's Mother.
She doesn't want you to go?
She read the letter this morning. She forbade me to go. She said one life had been ruined, but that didn't justify spoiling two lives. Only it wouldn't be like that, Dr. Christian. Alan is alive, and I love him. Nothing else matters. You do think I'm old enough to know what's best for Alan and me?
Yes, Linda. I wouldn't say this to every girl in Riverbend who was just 20 years old, but you have a sensible head on those pretty shoulders.
Then you will talk to Mother? I hate so to hurt her. I know how much she's done for me.
Karen is a very wonderful woman, but like so many mothers, she can't understand that children don't remain children forever. That her fledgling is ready to try her own wings.
Oh, Dr. Christian, you're a darling. If you can talk to her tonight, I'll plan to take the first train to Woodhaven tomorrow morning.
Well, I'll do my best, Linda, but Karen has a mind of her own. I can't promise to win her over.
How would it be if Linda drove with us tomorrow? We can sit free of breath. It won't be too crowded.
Ah, that's an excellent idea, Judy. Suppose we call for you at 9:30, Linda.
Oh, Judy, Dr. Christian. You're wonderful, both of you.
Oh.
Tomorrow, then. If I don't go now, I'll disgrace myself by weeping all over you. Tomorrow at 9:30. Goodbye for now.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Uh-oh, here we go again.
Now, that was a very nice thought on your part, Judy, asking Linda to drive with us.
All right, Doctor, rub it in. I'm as much of an old softie as you are. I think it's contagious.
Hello.
Doctor Christian.
Speaking. Oh, Karen Munson.
Is Linda there?
No, she left a couple of minutes ago.
Oh, she is in town then. Well, thank goodness. I was afraid she had dashed off to Woodhaven by herself. Did she tell you about Alan?
Yes, she did. Are you on your way home now?
I'm just leaving the office. Why?
Can you step in for a minute? I'd like to talk to you.
About Linda?
About Linda.
All right. I'll be over in a minute or two. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, Karen Munson's going to be a difficult person to persuade. She has done her own thinking and planning for altogether too long. Let me see. Why, it's all of 18 years since John died. Linda was only 2 years old. It's a pity Karen has not remarried.
I've always admired her so. She's a charming person, so self-possessed. Her clothes, her manners, her voice. So right, somehow. She's wonderfully clever.
Yes, I suspect she knows as much about the law office as he ran to himself. I don't think he could get along without her now. His son rises and sets you down.
They make a very nice couple. I wonder why she never married him.
Oh, that's different, Judy. Janet's been altogether too busy bringing up Linda. And she refuses to see that her job is finished.
Good to see you. Hello, Judy.
Hello. Well, Doctor, how long has it been? I guess the last time you came to our rescue was when Linda turned her ankle skating.
Well, you are as beautiful as ever, Karen.
Oh, come. You didn't ask me here to tell me that, Doctor.
No, I didn't, but it's still true. Tell me, Karen, how old were you when John died? About 22?
That's right. It happened 2 days after my birthday.
Leaving a pretty big responsibility on the shoulders of a girl so young. You made an excellent job of it, my dear. Linda is a very fine young woman.
Hardly that, Doctor. She's just an over-romantic little girl.
Oh, Linda is 20. Only 2 years younger than when you went to work at Steve Randall's office, and you had a child to bring up. You know, Linda is a great deal like you. She has the same courage, the same determination, the same good judgment. You made her that kind of person.
Well, I've tried to make her strong and self-sufficient. I've done my best to keep her to make her own decisions wisely.
Yet the first time she comes to a really important decision, you want to make it for her.
But this is something too big for her, Doctor. The boy was badly wounded. His legs broken. His face horribly torn. And his nerves shattered. According to the nurse's letter, the actual wounds have healed. But it goes deeper than that.
The damage to his nervous system is so great he may never be normal again. Believe me, Dr. Kristen, I feel terribly sorry for him. But I will not have Linda saddled with a tragedy like that for the rest of her life. I want happiness for Linda.
Hasn't it occurred to you, Karen, that Linda's happiness right now lies only in being with Alan and serving him in whatever way she can?
But it can't have gone that deep.
Oh, I'm afraid it has. Now, if you are the sensible person I know you to be, you let Linda make sure of herself and her feelings for Alan. Let her go to sea. Isn't that the only realistic way of finding out whether she loves him?
She's such an idealistic little girl, Doctor. I'm afraid. Can't you see she'll be carried away by pity, by her very loyalty and sense of beauty?
Linda is much too honest to pretend something she doesn't feel. You made her a sensible young woman. Now let her fulfill herself. Judy and I are going to the medical convention, and we've asked her to drive with us. Can you go home to her and tell her you wanted to go with us?
Please, Doctor, how you managed to make me reason your way. I shouldn't have come here tonight. I might have known. All right, I'll let her go tomorrow. Linda has never seen pain and tragedy that were horrible to look at. Why, the faintest whiff of ether makes us sick. Perhaps tomorrow will be so terrible an experience that she'll be glad to get out of the whole mess.
If that happens, at least it'll be home to safety.
You will go in with it, dear, Dr. Christie. It will be a heartbreaking experience for Velda.
Karen, it seems to me this war has proved that these young people have a great deal more courage and stamina than the older generation has ever given them credit for. But Judy and I will take care of Linda. Never fear.
I'll have Stephen drive me into Woodhaven tomorrow night. I'm sure she'll be quite ready by that time to come back with us.
How is Stephen these days?
Oh, well, very busy. Very well.
Karen, when are you going to stop living Linda's life and we'll soon live in your own?
Now, wait a minute, Doctor. Stephen and I are friends, and that's all.
Is that the way Stephen feels about it?
Dr. Christian, I'm going to get out of here this minute before you start using some more of that magic of yours on me. Lieutenant Gibbon is in this next ward, Miss Munchman. He's sleeping, but will have to be awakened soon anyway. Dr. Cale had hoped to start plastic surgery this afternoon, if the lieutenant will consent.
Cale is a very good man. He has performed the seemingly impossible in hundreds of cases.
Oh, yes.
He's one of the convention lecturers for tomorrow.
He's placing great hope in you, Miss Munchman. And after seeing you, I think he's justified. A girl as pretty as you should make any man feel it's worth the struggle to get well. Here's the door. The lieutenant's face is badly scarred, Miss Munson. You mustn't let him know how bad it is.
It will be better if he sees you alone, Linda. You wait within call, Judy, will you?
Yes, Doctor.
I'll get down to Dr. Kay's office and talk to him for a few minutes.
Alan.
Oh, Linda. Your hair shines so. It used to. Oh, no, it can't be. Linda. Linda, darling, you are here. I thought I was just dreaming.
Oh, Alan, oh, my darling. I thought I'd lost you. Now I've got you back again. We'll never be far apart anymore, sweetheart. I'll be here with you as often as you'll permit me.
You kiss me. My face, Linda. Doesn't it frighten you? I know I must look horrible. They keep mirrors away from me, but I can see it in their eyes.
Oh, hush, Alan. Stop at this minute, instant. I love you, darling. Do you understand? I love you. No matter what they've done to you, nothing can alter that.
I'll never be any good to anybody.
Alan, get this into that stubborn head of yours. You're going to get well. Don't you realize what it means to me? Just to be near you again. Feel your cheek against mine. Your lips on mine.
Oh, Linda, I've been stupid. I thought everything was all over between us. I couldn't believe you'd still be able to love me. They wanted to start grafting skin to my face, and I thought it wasn't worth the pain since life was all over for me, but now I'll do anything, anything.
If you don't kiss me this instant, I'll have to be a shameless hubby again and kiss you.
What is that?
What was that?
Ellen, Ellen, what is it? You're trembling. Somebody dropped a tray, that's all. Ellen!
Oh, here, let me take your arm. I'll take you back to your friend.
Oh, here's Dr. Christian
now.
What's happened, Linda? Has something gone wrong?
Oh, come now, Miss Munson. You carried on so well. You mustn't cry now.
You see, Dr. Christian, Lieutenant Gibbons still has these spells of reaction, a sudden noise, emotional tension. Anything can bring them on. This will pass in a few minutes.
Can I do anything to help?
No, thank you, Doctor. He's very sensitive about these spasms and hates to have anyone see him in one of them. If you'll excuse me, I'll go back to him.
Thank you, Miss Pat. We'll come back later, then. Come now, Linda. Alan is in good hands.
Oh, you've had enough for one day, Linda. Look, if Dr. Christian can spare me, would you like to have me drive you home?
Drive me home? You're almost as bad as Mother. If Alan can stand all he's gone through, don't you think I can stand seeing him?
Easy, Linda, easy now. You're going to need all your strength to help that young man. I talked to Dr. Cale for a few minutes. If he can get Alan's consent, he will operate this afternoon. He's quite sure he can do a good job on Alan's face. But that's where you can help, Linda.
Do anything you say, Dr. Christian. Did Dr. Cale say anything about...
The nervous condition is outside medical help, Linda. But with love and faith, why, in the years that I have worked with very difficult patients, there have been many miracles.
Thank you, Doctor. I'd so much rather know just how things are. And thank you again for not talking to me as though I was still a little girl.
You're a very sensible young woman. Because you are, you'll go into the restroom and lie down for an hour so that you'll be rested for this afternoon. Judy will stay with you.
Of course.
I shall manage to scribble my own notes at the convention. Judy always laughs at my hieroglyphics. What they'll do. Sure, Linda's still here at the hospital, Karen. It's after 8 o'clock.
Well, I called to make sure just before we left. Oh, here is Dr. Christian now.
Good evening, Karen. Steve. Come along this way, Steve.
Bad business, this about Gibbon. Tough on Linda.
How is the boy? Dr. Cale started plastic surgery this afternoon. Alan is almost completely over the anesthetic now, and he's very rested. Linda is with him. It's the next door on the right.
My poor baby, I've been worried to death about her all day. Dr. Christian, I never should have let you talk me into this. I'm going to take her home this instant.
Karen, you can't barge in there and make a scene. It's not just Linda now. How about that poor kid in there?
Let her go, Steve. The nurse will stop at the door. There's Miss Pratt now. How is our patient tonight, Miss Pratt?
Oh, coming along fine, Doctor. Miss Munson is very wonderful with him. Just a soft, quiet word from her, and it calms him down completely. They're pretty fond of each other, I guess.
Well, she's coming right out of there at this instant. It's a terrible strain for her. She's only a youngster.
Oh, Miss Munson is handling the situation very well. You may step inside the room if you wish, but you may not disturb them.
I wasn't really thinking this afternoon, Linda. She has to be serious. I can't let you marry me, darling. Not when I'm
able
to be really well again.
They're not trying to send you away, sweetheart, are you? Because you see, it just won't work. You're stuck with me forever.
No, there's just one thing to do about the way those two kids feel about each other.
Linda sounds so sure. So dead sure.
She is, Karen. It's completely out of your hands now. These young people are making their own destiny. It's hard, my dear, I know, for us to have seen to them and planned for them. To see them pass beyond our influence, but that's the way it is.
Your mother would never forgive me, Linda. This is why she wouldn't let me marry you before I went into active service. Well, I'm beginning to feel she was right.
Mother, just come in. Yeah. Mother, this is silly, silly. You think she really not going to marry him? Because he's been hurt. Tell him, Mother. Tell him you'll be proud and happy to have him for a chance. Yes, Alan. Yes, I will be proud and happy.
Glory be.
She's letting Linda have her way. Thank God, Dr. Christian. Now, perhaps I'll have some chance of having my way about things.
Yes, Steve. From now on, I think you're going to occupy a very important meeting here in town.
Doctor, thanks for everything.
Well, come along, Judy. Our work here is finished.
From here on, Dr. Christian, I'm doing the prescribing. You've had a very long, tiring day. And if you reach the house, you're going straight to bed, and I'll have a nice glass of hot milk to send up to you.
Oh, come now, after old Judy.
It's been a good day, though. Wasn't Linda wonderful?
You're very wonderful, all of you.
All of us? Who do you mean?
The younger generation. A few years ago, we older folks used to worry about you. Wonder what we're all coming to. Now the lads like Alan leaving their school books and going out in camps and ships and planes to meet the enemy. And there are girls like Linda, strong enough to face the future, pick up the broken pieces of their life, reach for happiness in spite of war and all its racket. America can be truly proud of you all, Judy. Before you, I feel very, very humble.
Curtain descends on another Dr. Christian Prize play with our star, Gene Herschel, waiting to say goodnight to you. Many war workers have found that painfully sore hands often come with exposure to machine oils, chemicals, dyes, or other irritating substances. Yet a simple daily routine can make working hands feel fine. Here's how. Before starting the job, apply a light coating of Vaseline petroleum jelly on your hands. This protective film helps keep grime and grit from being ground into the skin, safeguards against infection, also makes grease and dirt easier to remove, less apt to irritate. Then, after washing up, apply Vaseline petroleum jelly again. This supplements the natural skin oils often scrubbed away with strong cleansers. Furthermore, Vaseline petroleum jelly will soothe minor cuts and abrasions, help promote quick healing. If you work hard with your hands, protect them with Vaseline petroleum jelly. Keep a convenient tube or jar within easy reach. Remember, there are many petroleum jellies on the market, but only one bears the trademark Vaseline. That trademark, owned by the Cheesebro Manufacturing Company, is your guarantee of absolute purity. And now, here is Gene Herschel.
Thank you very much. As a teacher of English in the Stratford High School, Stratford, Connecticut, Evelyn L. Homer, author of tonight's play, certainly knows her younger generation. She writes, I have received many letters from former students, boys and girls, whose main interest a year or two ago would have been in the Thanksgiving football game or the senior prom. And as I read each letter, I marvel at the courage and stamina with which they are facing the very terrible problems of this war. It is to them I dedicate my play. Next week, we plan to present another prize play called Broken Melody, written by Emma M. Edler of Chicago, Illinois. We invite you all to listen, same time, same place. And until then, I'll say good night.
Of all tips for chapped lips, the best is Vaseline Lip Ice. Healing starts almost instantly. Only a quarter at drugstores. Vaseline Lip Ice. Bob Anderson speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.